friends. So today let's talk about cookbooks. I was in my local bookstore the other day, and sweet mother of Abraham Lincoln, were there ever a ton of cookbooks. I was looking for something specific and finally found it in the bargain book section. You know, it's a bad thing when you can find something more easily in the bargain bin than you can in the organized shelves. So it got me to thinking, if I was just starting out and looking for a good basic cookbook, where would I begin? Now, I have to confess, I've cycled through a ton of cookbooks in the last 20 years or so, and many of them have ended up in either the Goodwill pile or re-gifted to friends. So I know how attractive they can be with their shiny pictures and colorful covers. But will they really be useful? Now there's the rub. I received my first cookbook from my mom as a gift. I think I was in high school, and she'd seen in me a real love of cooking. It was Marion Rombauer's Joy of Cooking, and I love it still. This thing had every fact about cooking I could ever need, and I used it as a reference for years. The Betty Crocker cookbook is also a good one for this. I love how these authors assume I would want to skin and debone a rabbit just as much as I would want to make a boiled cake icing. Good times. With cookbooks like this, you can use it as an encyclopedia of sorts. In the back is often a chart of cooking times, proper meat temperatures and measurements, and along with that, a small glossary of terms. Of course, no list would be complete without Julia Child's contributions. If you're really interested in French classical cooking, then do pick up Mastering the Art of French Cooking. However, if you just want some really good recipes and cooking advice with equally good illustrations, I recommend Julia Child's The Way to Cook. It's a very helpful tool. Another recommendation is that Rotary Club or Moms Club or Church Committee publication. These are family favorites that have been made dozens of times and shared without a hint of rancor by women who don't have time for fussy or flashy recipes. They want something good and consistent to put on their family tables. And if you can find one of these, it's a real gem. I also really like cookbooks with great photography. If I know what something is supposed to look like, it helps. Okay, well, most of the time it helps. Except when that brilliantly staged, professionally designed and photographed piece of food sits in mocking judgment at me from the page after I've failed horribly and forgotten the baking powder or salt. Oops, did I say that quiet part loud? Seriously, though, Ina Garten's cookbooks are fabulous for this. Now, I don't want to recommend every single book written by a Food Network personality, but there are some I really like, whose recipes really work for me. So how do you build your library without going broke or developing an addiction to cookbooks akin to Imelda Marcos and her 2,700 pair of shoes? Trust me, it happens. Here are some things to keep in mind. First, shop your Goodwill, your half-price books, and your rummage sales. You can find some real gems here. At the shop where I teach in Old Town Snohomish, every week we have a gentleman come in with an assortment of cookbooks he's found at various places. They're all in great shape, they're priced right, and we've got quite the repertoire available. I found some incredible little treasures there, and there are more every week. I bet there's one in your neighborhood. Second, unless you can really see yourself making all of the recipes in this book, or at least several of them, don't buy it. You're better off finding the recipe you want online. It makes no sense to buy a book for what will ultimately become just one recipe. Some great online resources are allrecipes.com and cookingchanneltv.com. I use those from time to time myself, and they're great for searches. Third, put the word out to friends and family that you're looking to adopt new cookbooks. They may be going through Great Aunt Pearl's garage or their attic and be itching to get those books to new homes. It's a win-win. People in my life know that I cook, and I just about cried when my friend Becky brought over Sokolov's Saucier's Apprentice and just handed it to me. What a diamond in the rough, a classic. I was so excited that she'd found it, and she was just happy she'd given me something I could use. And finally, there's absolutely nothing more valuable than the cookbook you make on your own. That's right. Your notes on all of the recipes and techniques you try will be an invaluable guide to your family and a family keepsake one day. So right beside your cookbooks, I hope you have a bound notebook in which you write down everything you make of any import. Write down what works, what doesn't, and what you want to try in the future. List a technique, a note on how to improve something, or a flavor combination that intrigues you. Make those drawings, diagrams, conversion tables, whatever. This is just for you, your diary to your culinary adventure. You'll be glad you did. So, I hope some of this information helps you choose a cookbook for yourself or someone you love. And remember, the most important thing about a cookbook is that you use it. In the meantime, I'll be curled up with my copy of Michael Ruhlman's Making of a Chef, Mastering the Heat at the Culinary Institute of America, and Michael Pollan's In Defense of Food, because apparently it's no longer enough for me to read cookbooks in my spare time. I'm now into culinary biography. I'm Joan Autry with Tutti e Tavola All to the Table Cooking School, where you can get your PhD in delicious.